Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Taking you up to 6:30, we're Grant and Danny on the Fan. The teams in D.C. are building a foundation of success on and off the field this season. It's time for you to plan for your future as well. The exclusive sponsor of our show is the law firm, Condori & Murat. They'll help you update your last will and testament. They'll set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them G&D sent you so that you can get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Let's spin you around the NFL ahead of week 15. Get you set for some of the kicks on Sunday. Outside of just the game we've been talking about, the Commanders and the Saints, looking at some storylines. Danny, will start in Charlotte, where the Carolina Panthers are hosting the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas is 5-8. Carolina's 3-10. The Panthers are seeing major growth from Bryce Young.
That's the key. So it went from, you can't play this person, even though he's obviously a top pick, and, you know, was struggling at times. It wasn't to the point like it was a regular struggle where you let him go through it. This was a so damaging, irreparable harm was going to be done. Like, you couldn't call a play at early on in the season. And to his credit, to Dave Canales' credit, to this whole organization, quite frankly, which we're not used to giving them praise here, they did right by him. They didn't bail on him. There weren't a bunch of comments running him under the bus. They didn't bail on the kid. They basically said, you're still part of it, but we just can't do this right now, this minute. It took a freak thing, a car accident, not to be flippant about it, but that's really what happened to Andy Dalton, and now he's back in the lineup playing much better. It's not great, but it's better, so much better than it was.
Four touchdowns, one interception over the last four games for Bryce Young. Now, look, it's not great offensively or statistically.
Right.
He has not thrown for more than a touchdown in this stretch, but he's protecting the ball, still right around 60% completing of his passes, which is low for today's standards, but they're playing a lot better. You just see it if you watch him. He's flashing more often. He's getting out of the pocket, moving around. He's more accurate, throwing the ball downfield. They have played two overtime games recently, including a game with the Kansas City Chiefs. They also nearly knocked off Philadelphia this past week, so it'll be interesting to see if they can give the Cowboys a run for their money at home. Speaking of the Chiefs, they are at the Browns trying to get to 13-1 against Cleveland. You know, the Browns are much friskier and more difficult to play with Jameis Winston at quarterback. But this just feels like one of those games where, even if it's tight, the Chiefs inevitably probably find a way to get a win. They are at Cleveland for the kickoff at 1 o'clock.
Does the fact that that Browns are only 4.5-point dogs just tell you the entire story here? A 3-10 team playing what are the Chiefs, 12-1 at this point? But everybody knows the word is out. The Chiefs are going to do exactly as you said. They're going to play with their food. They're going to find a way to win the game because that's what they always do. But they are not the buzzsaw that maybe they've been in years past. Again, the third-best point differential in their own division as a team that with the best record in the NFL on the road in Cleveland. I'm trying to remember I get this exactly right. Lord, deliver me from these pick sixes. That's what Jameis Winston prayed verbally the other day. I hope it happens for him.
Such a good line. Miami is 6-7. They are on the road at 8-5. Houston.
Sneaky big game here.
Yeah, the Texans are going to win the AFC South kind of by default. They have a two-game cushion over the Indianapolis Colts. But the Dolphins still have the possibility of making the playoffs with a little help in the AFC in the wild card picture. They get to 7-7 with a win. They would be potentially within one game of Denver and the LA Chargers in the back end of the wild card. All three wild cards are 8-5. So you don't have, like in Minnesota, say, in the NFC, it was an 11-win team. You don't have that. It's just three teams, all at 8-5, two games ahead of Miami. So if they could win out and get to 10 wins, they'll got a chance to make the playoffs.
So they're looking to do what the Rams are doing now, but with a bit of a later start, right? I mean, Miami dug themselves more of a hole to his injury. We know that. We know what happened. They're playing better football here lately. They've been one of the best offenses, surprise, in the NFL since he came back, and everybody's humming, and they're moving right along. They may have dug themselves too big a hole, though, if they need Denver or the Chargers or somebody up ahead of them to falter. But if you win a bunch of games in a row, now you got a little added pressure to those teams. Maybe you get a little pucker from a group that hasn't really been there in some time. They're thinking again of the Chargers and the Broncos. And listen, the Ravens' schedule is not very easy. Even though they've got as high a ceiling as anybody, they could drop a game or two. So Miami's going to mess around here, see if they can win a whole bunch and see what happens. But again, you dug yourself such a big hole, there's no room for, or no margin for error, rather, and they're playing a Houston team that hasn't quite found it yet. And as you said, they're going to win the division by default, but they're not what we thought they were going to be, right? We thought they're going to be up there with Kansas City and Buffalo duking it out for a top seed. They're 8-5. That ain't bad, but it's not what we thought.
Speaking of the Ravens, speaking of not as good as people thought, 8-5 right now for them. They're at the Giants. That's a game they should win to get to 9-5. Then they play Pittsburgh, which will be tough. Then they play Houston, which could be tough.
Yep.
They finish with the Browns at home. Should be a win. But, again, Cleveland playing a different brand of football with Jameis Winston. But Baltimore got to have it against the Giants. A lot of ways, it's kind of like Washington's game.
Yeah.
You're 8-5. You're in the wild card right now. And you're playing a team you absolutely should beat in Baltimore's case and in Washington's case on the road, 1 o'clock. On Sunday. Elsewhere, the Buffalo Bills and the Detroit Lions. This is the best game of the weekend. We've been talking about it for a couple of days. 10-3 Buffalo is within two games of the top spot in the AFC behind Kansas City. Detroit at 12-1 is the number one seed in the NFC. They're trying to stay there because Philadelphia is nipping at their heels. The Eagles are 11-2 playing Pittsburgh. So if they lose, the Lions win, then you could have a two-game lead on getting the number one seed and being at home indoors for the entire playoffs, which would be a game changer for that offense and Jared Goff.
I set my DVR to record this game, knowing we'd be here in New Orleans, and you know, viewing would be probably a little bit of a challenge. I don't do that. I do a red zone bit, or I'll do a condensed at certain points if there's intrigue. I want to see this thing from start to finish. Now, if it ends up being a dumb score, one team blows the other out because they had a bad day, whatever. But I have so, I mean, these are basically two of the three or four best teams in the NFL going at it. Historically, when we've gotten one of these kind of matchups in December, it's told us a ton about kind of the state of the union in the NFL and who the real contenders are and the like. So I am all over this game. I cannot wait. I have no idea what to expect. My lean and my gut, which is, again, stupid, we talked about this yesterday, is because Buffalo lost this past week, I feel like they're going to come out and win this game. But that, again, that could absolutely be Detroit. Nope, you don't mess with them. You don't mess around with Slim and you get knocked around because they're the best team in the NFL.
Yeah, for me, I just don't see Detroit going 16-1.
Yeah, right, that's part
of
it.
I think that's really, really hard to do. Mm-hmm. They also haven't lost since week two. So anytime you start getting to a point where you've won 11 games straight like they have, it just feels like they're due for a little bit of a clunker or a stinker. This Buffalo game is the hardest game on their schedule remaining. They follow that up with Chicago, San Francisco, and finish with Minnesota. So maybe they win this one and their other loss is the Vikings. But I just, man, it's hard for me to think that they'll play 17 games and go 16-1, but they're really, really good.
They're nasty.
A team that's trending up is the Tampa Bay Bucks. They have taken over the top spot in the NFC South over the Atlanta Falcons. They're 7-6. Here's their toughest remaining game, perhaps. They're at the Chargers,
yep,
who are, again, one of those 8-5 teams we just talked about in the wild card in the AFC. If the Bucks can beat the Chargers, they're almost certainly going to win the South, because they finish with Dallas, Carolina, and New Orleans in Week 18. They'll be a favorite in all three of those games. They could very well get to 11. They'll probably get to 10 wins. But remember, the Falcons beat Tampa Bay twice, so they have the tiebreaker over the Bucs. So for the moment, even though they're both 7-6, I guess Atlanta now, having lost, is looking up at Tampa, I should say. But if they, you know, reverse this week and the Bucs lose to the Chargers and the Falcons get a win over the Raiders, they, because of the tiebreaker, would be back in first place. I think Tampa actually does beat the Chargers. L.A. without J.K. Dobbins hasn't quite looked the same.
Yep.
Running game's not quite as good. Ladd McConkey was hurt last week and didn't really play, and it was a completely different passing game as well. So I think the Chargers are kind of running into a little bit of a second-half wall.
Yeah, the Chargers are kind of Washington West. I mean, they don't have a lot of quality wins on that resume. Every good team they've played, they've lost, and they've been competitive while doing so. You know, their losses are Pittsburgh, Kansas City two times, and Baltimore. That's not ridiculous. I guess they lost a close one to Arizona in there. Maybe that's your quote-unquote bad loss, but all they've done is beaten the bad teams or teams that they're better than on their schedule. You do that, you probably get to 9 or 10 wins most years, and you're a playoff team, and that's what's happening under Harbaugh and company. Real quick, just my own editorial, I have long thought Todd Bowles is a better head coach than he gets credit for. I know there have been a bunch of bad years and a bunch of underachievement. This is a pretty damn good coaching job to me that they're doing. I know they're atop a bad division, and so what, but if they get to 9 or 10 wins with the injuries that they've had, when everybody picks someone else to win the division again, he's not going to get coach of the year, and I think there are probably other guys more deserving. But a little bit of a shout-out, as they say, to Todd Bowles and the job that he's doing, especially they go on the road and beat the Chargers. For them to be 8-6 all of a sudden, that'd be really impressive.
So I will, if they go to 10 wins, I'll give him credit and say it was a really good coaching job. I'm not overly impressed by their 7-6, though. I'm kind of whelmed. I think it's about where they should be, honestly, with their talent. I mean, he is, in 7 years prior to this one as a head coach, had one 10-win season. And his all-time coaching record is 50-64. I'm not nearly as high on him as a head coach, it sounds like, maybe, than you are. But I think you're right in that if the Bucs win that division at 10-7 or 11-6, I'll be able to sit here and say, hell of a job, Todd Bowles.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, right now, they beat the last 3 weeks the Giants, the Panthers, and the Raiders. Forgive me for not being impressed by that. Their other wins this season are the Saints, and they did early in the year. They were much better. They beat Philadelphia and Detroit in the first month of the season, which are two great wins on their resume. But, I mean, they haven't beaten a good team since, like, week 3.
No.
Week 4. So, yeah, in a 7-6, probably about where they should be overall for me. How about Steelers-Eagles? This is a battle for Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is a toss-up. Have you ever heard that before?
No.
Steelers and the Eagles, 10-3 Pittsburgh, 11-2 Philadelphia. The Eagles have a chance to break an all-time single-season yardage rushing record. Saquon Barkley leading the way. They have not lost since week 4. They had a week 5 bye, and they have won every single game since. Philadelphia, 11-2 with a win and a Detroit loss, would be tied for the top spot in the conference.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I keep refreshing and staring at that spread. That Steelers, Eagles favored by 5.5 points. And I keep thinking it's going to change, and it doesn't change. It's not getting bet down one way or the other. Everybody seems to agree with it and like it. I just think it's so puzzling to me that that is the case. This is basically an indictment to me of saying, or not an indictment, but a way of saying, we're not really confident that the Steelers are for real, for real. Like, they've played really well. They deserve a lot of credit. They're well coached. We all know that. Mike Tomlin's really good at this. And Russell Wilson's had a really nice season when he, you know, after battling some injuries, he came in and this Steelers offense has performed well. But they're about to step up in weight class. They're now going to face one of the big boys, one of the two or three best teams in this league, and they're about to get exposed. That's what this says to me, to a degree. And I'm pretty surprised by that because I love the Steelers this week to cover. I think the Eagles won a close one, but I don't think it's going to be sexy.
George Pickens ruled out this weekend for the Steelers. I think
that's contributor.
Is a big factor. You know, he is their one big play threat in the passing game, their most explosive weapon and wide receiver. So I think that's probably part of it.
It's a factor.
I look at the Eagles as some internal issues, some of the problems that they're having right now. A.J. Brown, Jalen Hurts trying to get on the same page, maybe a great motivator for them. Another sneaky, really good game. This will be taking place on Sunday Night Football. We will be having a pool party at that time, eating some good food. The Packers and the Seahawks in Seattle, 9-4 Green Bay, 8-5 Seattle in prime time. The Seahawks trying to win so that they can stay ahead of the Rams in the NFC
West.
We're
surging.
Green Bay trying to stay ahead of Washington potentially. Remember, if the Commanders beat the Saints, which they should on Sunday, and the Packers lose to the Seahawks, then the Commanders will have pulled even for the sixth spot, which is the storyline.
Yeah.
If they can avoid the seven playoff spot, the final wild card, that means you don't have to go to Detroit or to Philadelphia, and you get to go to Tampa or Atlanta or maybe, you know, the Rams or Seattle or something, which is where you want to be.
Grant, if I'm a Washington fan, who am I rooting for in that game? Is it that simple to you? Where you just go, they got a shot at the sixth seed, so go for that? Or is it I want to secure the seventh seed? You follow me? Like, is just getting in my priority? If so, let's go Seahawks, right? Because that means Seattle stays ahead in the division. I got fewer teams to deal with. The Rams aren't really as much of a factor.
Now, you're 100% rooting for Seattle because you're trying to catch Green Bay.
Then is it that, right? It's like, I want the sixth seed. You're getting greedy or you just want to be in?
I don't think it's greedy. The seventh seed, you're cannon fodder to be blown out probably by a really good team. The sixth seed, you have a really good chance to end a playoff drought that dates back to 2005.
Yeah, so that's what I'm rooting for, by the way. This Seattle team, by the way, four straight wins. Remember, again, they're always so weird in Seattle. They always have these strange seasons where it feels very streaky and fluky, and you'll have a couple great games, and then you'll lose to the Giants, which they did. Then you get boat raced by the 49ers. The Bills killed them. And then they played really well for a month over here as they beat Arizona a couple times, beat San Francisco at their place. They've now won four in a row and have got themselves in a pretty good spot. And I think they need this one this weekend with Minnesota looming, another tilt with the Rams. I would not want to have a winner-take-all game against the Rams at the end of the season.
Do we know why we have two Monday Night Football games this week? That's abnormal this time during the year. They used to do that in like the first week of the season. For some reason, we have two Monday Nighters, got the Bears and the Vikings, NFC North. That's actually going to be a lot of fun. Chicago, Caleb Williams. By the way, they'd be eliminated from playoff contention if Washington won.
We can be eliminated?
Which I know for a lot of Commanders fans, the infighting between the two fan bases this year has been a lot of fun. So a Commanders win would eliminate Chicago, which is hilarious. Sam Darnold and the Vikings coming off of their best offensive game of the year. Darnold throwing for 347 and five touchdowns against the Falcons last week. And then speaking of Atlanta, They play on Monday night as well in a got-to-have-it game.
Yep.
Their season in a lot of ways is on the line. I mean, Kirk Cousins' starting job perhaps is on the line in that they have a really good chance to make the playoffs where they win over the Raiders, but they're playing 2-11 Vegas, and they've got to go out and win. It's not like Cousins played terribly last week, but they did have three more turnovers, two of them on interceptions from Cousins, one on special teams. He threw for about 350 yards. I thought they got right on offense largely, but had nothing to show for it as they got doubled up by the Vikings and gave up over 40 points to Darnold. They have to beat the Raiders on Monday night.
The Bears were 4-2. I can't get past that. They were 4-2, they got Hail Mary'd, and they haven't won since. Like, the fall down the entire mountain, hitting every jagged peak on the way down.
That's the Jay Leno.
Yeah, as they've lost seven straight games.
You sleep on that thing.
Oh, my God. Anyway.
You know about that, right?
Did Jay Leno fell down a mountain?
You didn't know that?
No, what are you talking about?
Jay Leno fell down a cliff like a month ago. And he had just a terribly bruised face.
Oh, yeah, is he okay?
I think he's fine.
Oh,
but he just looked really bruised and stuff. I cannot believe you didn't hear that. It was like everywhere for 2 weeks.
I missed that.
Yeah, there's like memes all over the internet about him walking down the hill. He was like staying at a hotel, and he tried to walk down. It was like a Red Roof Inn or something.
Yeah.
And like he was walking down a giant hill to like a TGI Fridays or something like that. And he like started, he just started rolling down a hill, and his whole face was like,
it's the most Jay Leno
the color
ever.
Of like a purple grape.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
He's like, I wish this roof was a little bigger. Eh. He fell down. Oh man. So what was I talking about? Oh, the Bears. Yeah, they've fallen off a cliff, and it is absolutely ridiculous. Minnesota, by
Here's
the way.
Here's Jay Leno's face. I want you to look at this. This is after he fell down the cliff.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and he was wearing an eye patch and
oh
everything.
Oh, my God.
See his eye patch?
He is busted up, that guy.
Yeah.
But he's fine?
So anyway,
so I can do shtick?
So anyway, it was a good zing by me.
Oh, it was a very good zing.
If we're keeping score at home.
The Minnesota organization, a couple different times I'm going, okay, here it comes. Here comes that regression. Right? I mean, remember a couple years ago, it's still in our minds, where they were outscored and still won 13 games, which I don't think we'll ever see again as long as we're alive. But looking at you kind of said, okay, I see some of the chinks in the armor. Barely beaten Arizona. Barely eking out a win against Chicago on Thanksgiving. Here it comes, right? Here comes the fall, right? No. As you said, their best offensive game here this past week as they blew out Arizona. Maybe they found something again. I mean, as they were kind of teetering in the ring, thinking some regression was coming, they put together the most impressive performance of the season, I thought, in destroying Atlanta, rather, I meant to say.
All right, let's get to our predictions then for the Commanders and the Saints before we say goodbye on this Football Friday live from New Orleans in the French Quarter. Danny, you will be in attendance. You will look over at me right before kickoff, presumably. You will yell, they're going to get mud stomped.
Mud stomped.
And then what happens? By the way, I don't think you're going to yell at me or say that. Because
no, all this time.
I think the atmosphere is not going to be nearly as daunting. The reason you did it the last two times, Cincy and Philly, was because it felt like they had no chance. They're going to have a lot of a chance this week.
No, they do. They got a chance. I think they win the game. I think it's ugly. I don't think it's the thing we want. I think we'll be left with some questions. They will win the football game. It's like a 2016 kind of situation here. I see a missed field goal, a missed extra point somewhere in there. It's going to be close, but I think New Orleans doesn't quite have enough. I think Marshawn Lattimore makes a play to make his presence known. I don't think Washington covers, and I think it goes under, but I think Washington wins. And, again, we're going to wonder, are they back for real? Was this that New Orleans wasn't any good? There will be some things to discuss, but they will be in prime position at 9-5, which is unbelievable. I'll be so happy about that.
My player to lock in on this week, we do it every single week, presented by Baldino's Lock and Key, your one-stop shop for auto keys and fobs. Visit baldinos.com. Luke McCaffrey. Someone's got to step up opposite Terry McLaurin at wide receiver, with Noah Brown likely out for the season and certainly out this weekend. McCaffrey's got just 16 catches for 155 yards, coming off two grabs for 13 against the Titans. He has not been targeted more than twice, but once in a three-catch performance, going way back to the Steelers game since week five. It is time to involve this guy. It is time to throw him the football. All eyes on Luke McCaffrey, our player to lock in on, presented by Baldino's Lock and Key. Danny, I've got the Commanders winning handily. I think this resembles the Tennessee game a little bit. I think this is a 37-13 win for Washington and New Orleans. I think it is a feel-good, can't call it a get-right because they just had one of those against the Titans before the bye, but a
get-really-right.
Everything goes well for the Cliff Kingsbury coaching candidacy resume, the Jaden Daniels Rookie of the Year. Train is very much on the tracks. I think Washington offensively runs the ball, moves the ball, puts up points. This is going to look a lot like the Titans, Panthers, Browns, Cardinals games, the Bengals game this year where
– full woodshed, huh?
You know, they just go out and the Saints are going to have a hard time keeping up. And I think as the game goes on, Jake Haener is going to put the ball in harm's way. I'm also going to go out on one limb for you guys. Marshawn Lattimore picks off a pass in his Commanders debut against his former team in New Orleans. Jake Haener, who he practiced against many, many times, I'm sure, as the backup going against the ones. I think he's got a little tell or two, gets a read on him. And in a big Commanders win, Marshawn Lattimore intercepts a pass.
Some of those scout team tendencies he picked up here and there, telegraph one, I would love that. That would be awesome, by the way. It doesn't have to happen in terms of, the narrative or a story, but how nice would it be if it does?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we've waited a month because everyone's sitting there. I remember, okay, I get him not playing against Pittsburgh, but we could really use him Thursday against the Eagles. Okay, I guess we could really use him against CeeDee Lamb. Okay, I guess we could really use him this weekend. Now after the bye week, oh, look, he's come back against New Orleans. This is kind of what we're getting here for. This is what we signed up for. How nice would that be?
If you guys are coming into town and you want to get together at some point, perhaps over the next couple of days, we can link up with Commanders fans. We are on social at Grant H. Paulson. If you want to reach out at Funny Danny as well, the whole crew will be painting the town burgundy and gold in the days ahead. Big thanks to everybody who listened today on G&D. Much appreciate all of you guys hanging out with us on these airwaves. Linnell has overtime coming your way next on The Fan. Have an excellent weekend. We'll be live from Brennan's in the Big Easy on Monday, hopefully after a Washington win. We'll talk to you at 2 o'clock then. Thanks for hanging out. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey, it's Mark Schlereth of the Stinking Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinking Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.